Hi guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast, the show dedicated to transforming your life. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Helen, and we're excited to bring you the best information on exercise, nutrition, mindset, and health. Let's get on with the show.
What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome to the Challenge Podcast. In this episode, we're continuing the Meet the Challenger series, and today with me, I have an old friend, Chris Spratt. Chris, welcome to the challenge.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Mate, I'm excited to finally chat with you. I feel like I've heard so much about you, about your history with the challenge. So would you like to start by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you used to be part of the Max and the Maxine Challenge before my time?
Yeah, obviously, name Chris. I'm a father of two teenage daughters, 16 and 14, and married, live in Victoria. And in 2014 was the first time I discovered the Max's Challenge, and which pretty much was exactly what I needed at that time. I'd had some injuries with my knees and so forth and had gained a lot of weight. Lost any muscle that I did have. I was quite active and yeah, I was in a pretty low spot. And the Max's Challenge, I saw on a TV commercial, was actually Maxine's, and I wondered if they had something for the guys, which they did. And it was only ran once a year at that stage. And it was perfect. It was probably about 3 weeks out from there. So I got myself organized. And I threw everything at it, and I was thrilled with the results. So when Hintz came third in that particular challenge, which I was absolutely thrilled with, and from then became an ambassador and so forth. And yeah, that's where we are at the moment.
Where we are at the moment. Now, how long were you an ambassador with us?
Oh, I would say I think I was an ambassador for probably up to 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, love being part of the community and so forth. And then as life does, it got quite busy.
Yeah.
And I just felt I couldn't really provide what I had in the past. So I thought I'd step down, let everyone else have a good go, and have always missed it. Mm-hmm. But always kept an eye on it in the background as well.
I love it. Well, mate, I'm excited to have you back part of the challenge. Now, tell me, you've spoken a little bit about why you started that very first challenge, how, you know, you lost a bit of muscle, you had the knee injuries, and, you know, you put on a little bit of weight. My first question is, what brought you back to the challenge? Like, why did you decide that, you know, this May challenge was, you know, Chris's chance to make a comeback?
I'd always kept the training up, always had that 2014 training program and nutrition program as a blueprint for myself. And followed a lot of the Max's sort of protocol, but just sort of got a little bit comfortable, had a few holidays, backed it up with some bad nutrition choices, even though training was still on point. But the old thing of you can't out-train a bad diet, and that was pretty much me. And I'd always wondered, okay, the years have gone on, could I really do that 12 weeks as I did back in 2014? And May came up, and I thought, yeah, everything sort of lined up perfectly, and spoke to the family and said, I'm going to throw everything once again at this challenge. And yeah, and I was lucky to make top 10, which I'm thrilled about once again.
Mate, you've definitely earned it. You look incredible.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
So tell me then, over the past 12 weeks, have you faced any major challenges? And then the follow-up question is, were those challenges any different from back in 2014?
Yeah, once again, you don't want to put life on hold for a particular challenge. I didn't want to steer away of any events or family functions or anything like that that we had planned. I know from the 2014, yeah, there was probably a few occasions in which maybe a party or something came up in which I was really cautious about going to. I didn't want to have to explain myself with food choices and saying no to alcohol and so forth. But this particular one, I sort of had used strategies back from that 2014, and it's trying to progress and learn more about myself and everything like that. I attended everything with the family and so forth. And yeah, it's a little bit uncomfortable at times, but definitely getting better at it. So it went well.
Yeah. So you felt like you had a little bit more experience in handling those tough social situations?
Yeah, absolutely. Certain things like I'm find myself quite social when I get with some close friends and so forth, as everyone does, a good drink and have a chat and so forth. But yeah, and they understand as well if I just pretty much let them know I'm on a health kick. Mm-hmm. I really want to do something that means a lot to me, and everyone's really supportive, so it was great.
I think that's a good point to make, because sometimes the biggest challenge that some challenges face or people face when they're starting a new fitness program is the social circles. And when we have that routine of, you know, catching up with our buddies and having a beer, or catching up with the boys and having a Palmer on a Tuesday and stuff, that like behavior and that routine is so embedded in that social circle. And having that conversation and say, hey guys, you know, I'm trying to eat better. Sometimes, you know, that comes across as, you know, I'm using quotation marks here, like, you know, weak, or, oh, you're not one of the boys anymore type thing. You know, do you have any advice to someone who's listening who might be in the same situation on, you know, how you took those steps to have that conversation? You know, like, was it just a straight up, you know, this is it, guys? Or was it like a one at a time type thing?
Yeah, no, it was just sort of, it really depended on which situation it was. It was a lot easier this time for me, because when I'd go to those functions and someone would just go to straight, I'd always say, for instance, if it was in a bar scenario or something like that, as soon as I get there, I go and get a mineral water or a water or something, and I'm holding that in my hand. So that pretty much deflects anyone from getting a beer, just throwing it in your hand straight away. And then it'd just be something as simple as I'm on either on a health kick or I'm driving or something like that. But because I've done the 2014 and so many friends and family have now also gone ahead and done it, it was really just a matter of I'm doing the Max's Challenge again. Mm-hmm. And everyone sort of knew how serious I do get about these programs. And that was enough said.
I love it. I have to say, I'm on a little bit of a different contrast to that. So because I guess my identity is I'm, you know, Steve, the PT and the fitness guy, when I get invited to certain events, people will go out of their way to make a meal for me, as weird as that sounds. Like, they'll make sure that there's like salad there, or make sure that there's like a quote, quote, healthier version. And then when I do go to have like that, you know, that little cookie that, you know, your cousin made or something like that, people will normally look at me weird. They're like, oh, like, are you sure you want to eat that? I'm like, oh, I'm allowed to eat a cookie, you know?
Yeah. All your friends will eat about five, because if you eat them, they think
I know, right? They're like, oh, well Stephen's eating that. Yeah, I'm gonna eat that too. Yeah. So I think
exactly
what I'm trying to say with that is when you become that person where it's like, oh no, I don't eat those foods, or oh, I don't drink and such, people become supportive of you, and you know, that's who they know you as. So, you know, you might go to a bar and someone might preempt and be friendly with you and say, oh, you know, I got you a soda water or something like that, instead of buying you a beer, which is quite nice of people. People are very supportive. And that's, I think that's the main point I wanted to take, is people are always supportive with your decisions.
That's right. And it was those scenarios that you do learn about, and the support that you get from your friends from that day on. And then it's amazing. And that's the ripple effect, as far as if you say no to something, and then they might go and check out, say, the website or, you know, past transformations and so forth. And that's how I found a lot of friends get on board and really start their health kick at any age, really, young or old.
Yeah. It's quite rewarding when you have that effect on somebody, right? Like, it might be a close friend, it could be a friend of a friend, it could be like, you know, your cousin's friend, but it's a nice feeling, hey?
That's the whole point behind it. I love it.
Yeah. Now, tell me, you know, we're talking a little bit about the challenges. Have you had any big wins over the past 12 weeks? Like, you know, any big weights that you've been lifting, or any personal bests or anything like that? Any really big wins throughout the past 12 weeks?
Yeah, and I have, but it also goes through, look, I don't consider myself a heavy lifter by any means, but for me, it's more about trying different exercises for certain body parts that I'd never really thought of having a go or anything like that, and seeing how that developed within something as easy as working on your glutes or something like that. And then you feel that after a certain amount of weeks, even just getting out of the car or out of a chair or something like that, and to feel that strength and how it's adapted to your body, that's what I love about it. And they're the wins that I get out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. The bridge exercises and so forth. I'd never tried them before with weights.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's a creepy exercise in the gym. But with saying that, I've still done them, and I've got the benefit out of it, which is great.
You're talking about the barbell hip thrust, that glute.
Correct, the hip thrust, sorry. Yeah, that's the one. So, yeah, it's always get a little bit embarrassed when I'm doing it. However, keep a straight face and get it done.
Yeah. Well, look, as I always say, real men train their glutes. So if you're listening to this, train your glutes. You'll have a glute time, I promise.
So little wins like that. And also had some PBs along the way, which is always nice.
Yep.
Just trying to push myself, but also listening to my body, because I did have to work out first thing in the morning. So I'd never just concentrate on focus and, you know, on form and so forth. So, yeah, always take those little wins and it just, adds to the confidence as you go on.
Yeah, amazing. Now tell me, now that you've made the top 10 again, are you joining us as an ambassador for the September program?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, with that, that's just an honour. So I can't wait to get back into that community and start hearing people's stories, which, you know, inspires me to continue on with my goals and so forth. So, back in the family.
I love that. Well, now that you've made the top 10 again, where to from here? Like, do you have any fitness and health goals that you really want to achieve?
During the weeks 5 to 8, there was a certain weight range that I was at and strength and everything like that. I love that. So for me, it's just trying to add some lean body muscle, I suppose, or some lean muscle back on the body. Mm-hmm. I get that weight back up to that certain point where I felt extremely strong and fluent with that. So that's where I want to go, and possibly a physique comp. I said that in the last podcast. I've ticked one box as far as another Max's challenge. So, at some stage, I'd like to try and go in a comp just for myself and see how I'd go.
Well, mate, now that you've told me, you've told everybody else listening. So we're going to have to see you up on stage soon.
Hold me to it.
And
we'll get it done.
Well, that's it. Coach Steve's going to be on your back about getting you up on stage.
Fantastic, mate.
I think you'll smash it. You know, like looking at your transformation, you're putting me to a bit of shame, Chris. You're such a good-looking man.
Thank you. I don't even know what to say to that.
Now, tell me, do you have any advice for people who are listening to this who are maybe currently doing the challenge or are thinking about doing the challenge or are just interested in improving their fitness and health? You know, do you have any general advice you'd give to somebody?
Yeah, absolutely. My advice would just be to take it one day at a time. Don't look into what anyone else is doing. Just concentrate on what you want to do because it's all for yourself. And everything that you throw into it, you're going to get back and more. It's a really laid out, easy to follow process, but there's so much support and help there also if you need it. So really, just really commit and give it everything that you've got. And when you're done, regardless of where you place or you've completed it and you've won. So it's give it bit your all and you'll get so much more back.
Mm-hmm. Commit to the program. Reach out for support if you need to and, you know, give it your all. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. You're just comparing yourself to yourself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that was one of the things, the 2014, I wrote a journal every day.
Mm-hmm.
It was really so... This particular challenge, I went up against myself 5 years ago and that's who I was competing against. So, just give it your all.
Yeah. I was actually following a lot of your journals on the website. Could you tell us a little bit about the mental process of, you know, writing a journal? Did you find that really helpful?
Yeah, I got that idea from the 2013 challenges. When I was reading all their particular journals, I was trying to pick up a few ideas or some things that they did. Mm-hmm. So when I did mine back in 2014, I journaled every single day, like a diary for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I had something to look back on in future years and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny, on this particular one, I decided to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was rereading my journal and what exercises I was doing and so forth and reliving 2014 when I did this particular one and also trying to compete against myself. So it was a great tool like that and I'm glad I've done it. And maybe in another 5 years, if I decide to do another challenge, you know, just within myself, I'll use that same platform. I enjoy it. I'm sure it's a boring read for anyone else.
Yeah.
But for me, I enjoy it. So that's what's behind it anyway.
Yeah. I think just the mental process of sitting down and, you know, reflecting on the journey is just so powerful, you know, really helps you to keep consistent and motivated and you know, making those conscious step forwards. So if anybody's listening, I'd highly recommend, you know, using the journal function of the website, or, you know, writing down a journal. You know, it could really help us get our thoughts in line.
Yeah, absolutely. So I sort of stayed clear from some of the other social media and really put it all into my journal within the photos and stuff. So, yeah, you do have a bit of a memento after you've completed the challenge, and it's really nice to read back on and look at some of the photos and how you progress through the challenge week by week, because the scales don't always indicate exactly how you change.
No. When you sat there and compared your 2014 journal to this journal, did you find that there were any similarities between them? Like, let's say, for example, in week 8, did you find that in both times you found it challenging, or, you know, week 11, you started to get excited? You know, were there any, like, kind of similarities between the two journals?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the great things behind the journal, that I did sort of write things like, with this particular challenge, I knew sort of what to expect, but then rereading things, it really instilled what was to come and how my body was sort of changing at those certain times. And it was very, very similar, but I didn't lose as much weight as I did in the first challenge on this one, but I didn't want to either. So I sort of knew with the weeks how my body would go as the plans changed. So yeah, it was a really good tool and helped me through it anyway.
Now, I guess a lot has changed over the past 5 years, both as in the coaches are different, the challenge is different, and then I guess the scientific community around fitness and health has grown quite a bit over the past 5 years. Did you notice any like big differences in the training and nutrition plans, or did they look kind of similar? Like, what was the main difference between 2014 and 2019?
Yeah, there were some differences as far as the definitely through the training. And so obviously different exercises for different body parts, which I really enjoyed, as I mentioned earlier, because I love trying new things and seeing how the body responds. The diet, I sort of knew what I like to eat and so forth, but it's always interesting with sort of the amount of calories and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So very similar, but different.
Yeah.
And that's what kept it refreshing, which it always has been, and obviously keeps people coming back, because it's always changing, evolving, new and exciting exercises, and also different things to eat. And that's why it works. And that's why I enjoy it. So it was really good.
I love it. All right, Chris, mate, we'll wrap it up there. I just want to say thank you so much for donating your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. I'm really looking forward to seeing you as one of our ambassadors, and I'm sure that you will continue to help and to motivate and inspire so many people to improve their fitness and their health in any state or age or gender in their life. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
No worries, Steve. Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.